Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to Live Radio. You can find us right there. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can download the podcast. You can listen on your smart speakers, and you can join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are asking who the NFL MVP is right now after Patrick Mahomes obviously answered that last night, but some people like Key and Jay still think it's Jalen Hurts. Anyone still supporting Josh Allen? Or maybe there's a Tua fan out there. He's got a case.
Yep. Can you point it to me? I am.
So he does have a case, though.
Yeah.
Tua has a case.
Yeah, Josh Allen still has a case.
He just doesn't have the momentum. It's not – he just doesn't have it.
The pecking order has changed.
But the fact that he got – like, on the one hand, he missed those games. On the other hand, got concussed, came back on a short week, concussed again, and came back from that to carry his team.
Got to carry that momentum, though. You know how
he's picked up the last couple of games.
But I don't mean who's going to win it. I mean, who do we think is going to win?
I think
– or should win. Who would be your MVP right now if you had a vote? Mine would go to Patrick Mahomes.
Well, wait. Should win or right now?
No, right now, I would give my MVP vote, if I had one, to Patrick Mahomes if the season ended today.
I probably would give mine to Jalen Hurts if the season ended today.
How about you, Jay?
I'm leaning towards what Key said. It's because I've seen how it's affected the team and where they were last year.
Yeah, dude is ridiculous.
He's doing everything he's supposed to do. I mean, he's not
and
like
– then some.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's going to say the team is built a certain way. And, you know, I get it. But those dudes have still – he's still got to throw the ball. He's still got to get in the huddle. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about two guys who, coming into the season, one was the reigning defending back-to-back MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and he deserved both of them. Like in a right? And then – the other was a guy who would the odds on favorite, or at least the favored by the odds, to win MVP this year. And until this past week, looked like he should. Like, my vote would have gone to Josh Allen before this past week because he had beaten Mahomes head-to-head and outplayed him down the stretch. But they both lost this last weekend. And so which win was more surprising for the other team? The Jets over Josh Allen and the Bills, or the Lions over Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay? Zach Wilson had his best performance of the season, finished 18 of 25 for 154 yards, a TD pass, no interceptions. That's almost a perfect Keyshawn Johnson stat line, except that he'd like maybe 40 more yards. Zach Wilson had set a career high for completion percentage in that game, 72%. This coming after last week's three interception game. Here's Robert Saleh, Jets head coach, on getting the win.
You know, I know a lot of people are going to be surprised, right? I don't think there's a person surprised in the locker room. It's a hard-fought game. It's a damn good football team, a well-coached football team over there. Buffalo, obviously, they've got championship aspirations. But I don't think there's a guy in that locker room that didn't think we couldn't win.
Key, what'd you see from Zach Wilson?
I'm a guy that's not in the locker room but didn't think y'all can win. I didn't think they would. I just didn't think they would beat Buffalo. Buffalo's a better, on paper, it seems like it was a better football team because they had the better quarterback leading up to yesterday. Zach Wilson's done everything that you wanted him to do so far in that game. I don't want the New England game. I don't want him throwing 40-plus times. I want him to keep it nice and simple like he read. Give me about 40 more yards, run the ball, play defense. That's how you get out of there with a W. When you start getting cute, Jay, and we looked up these numbers, Max, about – top 10 defenses versus, top 10 defenses with their offense throwing for less than 30 or more than 30 and what that win or loss ratio was.
So it was, we set the parameters like this, 250 yards.
Yes.
We took only teams that had top 10 defenses that week. Okay?
That week.
So on the one hand, if you threw for under 250 yards and had fewer than 30 pass attempts, but no interceptions.
In top 10
on the
defense.
Other hand, both with top 10, if you threw for over 300 yards, over 250, over 30 pass attempts, but we didn't look at the interceptions because Key's theory is the more you throw it, the more likely you are to be intercepted. The record is the under 250 yards, 31-9. The over 250 yards when the quarterback throws over 250, 22-21. You go from winning more than three quarters of your games to losing about half your games, Jay.
And that's what the Jets did with their recipe yesterday.
I was going to say, which one is more surprising? I've been seeing the Jets trend in the right direction. Like, for me, even though I think people say everybody naturally expected the Bills to win that game, it's not a shock to me seeing the way Robert Saleh and his team defensively, Quentin Williams, and the way they played, right? Like, okay, it's more so I feel like with the Packers, I've been waiting for the Packers to turn it around. And that game against Detroit, after you lose four in a row, it felt like it was a must-win game. It was a must-win game against Detroit. And I thought, very similar to what we saw with Tom Brady in that one-minute stretch, he found a way to win. I thought I was going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers finding a way to pull his team out of the trenches. But 100%. Yet here we are talking about them losing their fifth game in a row and now going to play against the Dallas Cowboys, which is like the game everybody's been building up for Mike McCarthy in a payback game. I don't see them build it winning that game either.
They lose to
five in a row. If they lose to Dallas, it's going to be six in a row.
Five? So you did that in your head just now? Five in a row to the perennial bottom feeder of the division. Yes. Like, you're supposed to beat Detroit. They got one win on the season going into that game.
Five in a row. Yeah, the season's over. You don't bounce back from losing five in a row.
You know what happens if they lose next week?
Doesn't happen.
Six in a row.
It doesn't happen. You did that in your head that fast?
I did. Well, I copied off Jay's work.
But we had Dan Orlovsky, and he was talking. I mean, think about, like, the rise and the drop-off. So, back-to-back MVPs. You know, a couple years in an NFC championship game. Like, there's – like, the reign of power in which has had for the Green Bay Packers has been significant over the last several years.
There's been some change on the offensive side of the ball. We always talk about Davante Adams, but they've actually lost three receivers, you know, and they had a tackle. Their tackle's in and out of the lineup. There's a lot going on. The defense isn't playing well. But to think that five games in a row, so they got eight games left, right? So that means that they're going to basically have to run the table.
And unlike a bunch of years ago when he said, hey, we'll run the table, and then did, he's not saying we're going to run the table now. He's not confident. He looks miserable on the sideline. But listen to this, because he was asked that after the game about looking miserable on the sideline. Does he regret coming back? Listen to how he answers the question.
I think that's an exaggeration, Pete. Frustration and miserability are two different emotions. So when I decided to come back, it was – all in, and I don't make decisions and then, you know, hindsight 2020, you know, have regrets about big decisions like that. So I was all in, and this is a lot of life lessons for sure this year, but luckily it's not over. There's still a lot of games left. We'll be counted out probably by many, and we'll see how we respond.
That sounds very, very intelligent there.
Miserability. I want to do a miserability index from now on Rodgers, like a weather report. You know, visibility is at 20%. Miserability. What did his miserability look like? What percentage would you put on it?
It's very telling of his miserability.
Yes, I would say his miserability was at 90% yesterday.
That's just that he was slipping. He talking fast and thinking at the same time. He looked to me, though, without – well, whoever that was asking him that question, Jay, and I said this yesterday on our conference call as we got ready to lay out what the show could potentially look like today. I said he looks miserable. He looks depressed. Like, he looks like, what the hell? Like, it's all over with. It's a fog. You can just look at – you can look at people, man, and tell. I don't need to ask that question. I can look at Tom Brady and tell, oh, Tom Brady's going through some stuff. I can look at Aaron Rodgers and say, he's not happy right now. He's not happy. Not a mad, but he's not happy. You know, like, something's bothering him.
Well, why would you be happy? I mean, I'm a competitive dude. If I lost five games in a row and guys were dropping my passes and
– well, a lot of it is on him, too. Yeah, buddy.
His play has not been at an elite level. I mean, there's a lot to not be happy about. I have no problem with Aaron Rodgers looking miserable. He should look miserable. Their team is miserable.
But what happens, though, Jay – and I had this conversation with y'all the other day, or maybe it was NFL Live, I don't know. When I look at you and you have a pouty face and your head is down and your shoulders are down, it's going to affect the rest of the team.
You're talking about leadership now. I mean, that's leadership. But by the way, how long have we been talking about this? How long I've been asking, like, is Aaron Rodgers the type of leader that you want?
Is it?
He's the type of leader I want. I don't want my leader looking like that, though, at a time.
But, Key, that's what, like,
that's
that
leader.
Counts.
That's part of leadership.
But look, I done watched other leaders in sports, dominant Hall of Famers, have a game or two that's bad, and they look a certain way. You have to go over this. Come on, man. Let's knock that off.
I totally get it. I think you're right. It was inescapable for me seeing Tom Brady, having gone through the divorce this year, lost weight, the whole thing. It's true. Like, it's inescapable, guys.
He's
like,
gained some weight.
Maybe. And we predicted. It was common sense. Look, as he starts to put this behind him and move on, his play maybe gets better, because he's even basically saying it in the press. He's telling people, look, I try my best. He's a human being. I try my best to separate the two. Doesn't mean you're successful at it all the time. But with the season on the line, right? Same situation as Rodgers. Is he going to lose all these games in a row in a very losable game?
He found a way to win,
and Rodgers lost that game. A lot of that was on him yesterday.
A lot of it was on him, man. In Detroit, took care of business. But again, their season's over. It doesn't matter what we say. I don't care what nobody. They're not going to the playoffs.
It seems like they're not.
They're not going to the playoffs.
He's not
even
acting
if they don't
cocky
go to the
about
playoffs,
that either.
Though, even if they don't go to the playoffs, you know, you need to see from Aaron Rodgers him continue to fight for it. For that money that he got paid, for all the stuff that happened in the offseason. And I'm like, look, I'm all about athletes getting their money. But with what it did from a roster construction, right? Like, you have to continue to fight for it and at least look the part, even if the ship is sailing.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com.
Allen off the play flake, rolling to his right. He's picked off.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to win in this league. You're playing a good team, and your quarterback plays like made some bad decisions tonight. Really cost our team.
You know, I know a lot of people are going to be surprised. I don't think there's a person surprised in the locker room.
Big Willie Colon right now on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion, co-host of Morning Men on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Good morning, Willie.
Morning. What's going on, fellas?
What's good, man?
Hey, how big was this one for the Jets, Willie?
Man, it was huge. It was huge for Robert Saleh. It was huge because of how disastrous last week was for the Jets, losing to the New England Patriots. And then in the fashion they lost with Zach Wilson throwing three picks, they needed to respond. I think, you know, this fan base is, they want to believe. They didn't want to believe in this young team. And the way they lost last week, you just had to see them bounce back. And they didn't start off great for them, right? You know, the kicker slips. Josh Allen looks like he's about to have one of those days, and they respond with an interception by DJ Reed. And so there was a lot of hiccups along the way, but they stayed consistent. An old Jets team probably would have gave up early. They didn't. I mean, they went down 14-3, and they was able to rally and towards the end of that halftime. They come out in the third quarter, they responded and started throwing body blows. And so they look like the new Jets, but it was a big win for them for sure.
Willie, do you like the recipe playbook, play calling success that Zach Wilson had last week against New England, or do you like the play calling success that he had this week?
See, I think right now, Key, I think the fact is Mike LaFleur is starting to understand how to handle Zach Wilson. I think he understands that he has the big arm, he has the athletic ability, but you can't quite give him the keys yet. You got to put a governor cap on him. And what I mean by that is, yeah, he has the intangibles, but he's only in his second year. He's still learning the game from the neck up. He still has to process the game. And I thought what we saw yesterday was that Zach was very decisive with the ball. His feet were calm in the pocket. He knew when to throw away the ball, knew how to step up in the pocket. He wasn't trying to, you know, kind of retreat or do the whirly bird thing when he was trying to escape. So it seemed like he played within the offense. And then push ahead to the second half, right? You talk about they're waiting for to fix the camera. They had that whole debacle. They come out of that. Von Miller just a strip sack. That happens, and then Sauce Gardner comes right back, gets them to pick, and then they start marching, and they start running the ball. So the identity for the New York Jets is in the run game. But Zach Wilson can make the throws, but you can't give him everything. You have to play. He has to play within himself, and I think he has to mature. I thought we saw a little bit we saw a lot of that yesterday because he was able to kind of do the necessary things. He didn't make the game too big. He played within the offense, and they came out on top.
Willie, a lot of times, you know, the game of football or any sport is all about matchups, and teams can make certain runs if they get hot. Is it crazy to think that the Jets have the talent and the capabilities that if they hit the right time, we could be talking about this team with a deep playoff run?
Yeah, you know, right now, listen, they're going into the bye week. There's 8 games remaining. But I think the recipe for the New York Jets is running the ball and playing with that outstanding defense they have. They're great against the run. They have 2 stud corners and obviously Sauce Gardner, but DJ Reed on the other side is flat out phenomenal. He's tough. He's gritty. He's a playmaker at the cornerback position. So I think right now, if they continue to run the ball, and I think the underdog, and I guess they don't get talked about a lot, and I guess as an former offensive lineman, when you don't get talked about, that means you're doing your job. But the interior of that offensive line, led by Nate Herbig, you talk Connor McGovern and Lakeland Thompson, they handled the Buffalo's defensive line incredibly. I mean, you talk about, you know, Buffalo's defensive line, what Von Miller, Ed Oliver, I mean, these guys, they got in the phone booth and they got busy. And it was impressive to see. It was awesome to see. The Jets never wavered. They knuckled up, and they made a lot of things happen in the run game. And credit Joe Douglas, because when he was able to get James Robinson, who's a volume back, he's not a speedster. He's a downhill back who loves running behind the tackles. You saw the momentum starting to turn. So I think the Jets are legit. Their identity is through the run game, and their defense speaks for itself.
Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion, and co-host of Morning Men on Mad Dog Radio, Sports Radio, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, of course. Willie, I have been a fan of the New York Jets for quite some time, and Coach Robert Saleh.
Okay.
But, no, I'm going to apologize to Robert Saleh for negatively critiquing the New York Jets earlier in the year and his coaching style and philosophy. But now I see that this team is probably headed to the playoffs. I see that. This is going to be one of those teams that, look, I thought Buffalo would run away with the division and the Jets wouldn't have a chance to win a division. The Jets got a chance to win a division now. So this whole notion of they're going to backdoor into the playoffs based on not winning a division, that goes out the door. Is this division, the AFC East, the best division in football?
Yeah, I think it's because of the surgence of Miami and the Jets, right? I think everybody knows what Buffalo's capable of, and they were talking about Super Bowl or bust with this team. And obviously the Patriots, Mac Jones being a Pro Bowler last year, you know Belichick, he's the wizard. They were going to kind of be on par. They're going to be where they need to be. But I think since the Jets have emerged and the Dolphins have emerged, with Tua playing phenomenally, with Waddle and Hill and that defense, obviously they acquired Bradley Chubb. But I think because of the Jets and Miami, now you're looking at this division like, you know, not, if you're in a division, anybody can get it, right? And I think it was significant about yesterday is that you expected the Buffalo Bills to kind of just wash over the Jets and they would move on. But the fact that the Jets had the grit, had the fight, had the defense to be combative against Josh Allen, had the offense to kind of ground and pound, had the mindset to kind of keep pushing and do significant things within that game to be relevant, it just shows you that this is a hard division to win it. And that each team, you got to bring your hard hat and play big-time football against.
Willie, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers before, and obviously, you know, crazy, they've lost 5 games in a row.
Yeah.
Where do you – and their next game is against the Cowboys, and that's a reunion with Mike McCarthy. We know it's going to be a payback game for him and that team. What are your thoughts just on what we're witnessing in real time with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
You know, Jay, man, for me, it's body language. Body language matters. It seems like he's unhinged. It seems like every week there's a part of Aaron Rodgers that's dying. And when you get paid as much as he's been paid, when you're as storied as a quarterback as he is, body language matters because they are struggling, right? Their receiving core is not what it used to be. Their offensive line has been up and down. Their patchwork offensive line. Defensively, they haven't held the water. But when you're him, when you're that guy, when you consider one of the GOATs, body language matters. And I think throughout that whole game against Detroit, and Valley, you know, it's 15-9. The fact that Green Bay Packers can only score 9 points in Detroit against them, one of the worst defenses in the NFL, speaks for itself. But I think body language matters. You guys played when your top dog, your head leader, looks like, hey man, one, he looks like he got thrown out of the back of a trunk because he looks so disheveled and so out of it. That sends ripples through the rest of the team. You got to keep swinging. You got to be the guy to keep trying to make it happen. And at times he did. But just, I think his body language was startling to me. I think at some point Aaron Rodgers has to be like, hey, it is what it is. but I can't give up because his body language alone seems like he's tapping out. So that's for me as a fan of him, that scene was most unsettling to watch.
Mm-hmm. Willie Colon, ladies and gentlemen, NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion, co-host of Morning Men on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Thanks. Great hearing from you as always, Willie.
Thank you, guys. Be good.
All right, boss.
All right, Willie.
Hey, what's the top four look like after Tennessee, Clemson, and Alabama all lose?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
He'll keep it 10, 5, goes for the pylon, touchdown! Near sideline, one on one, intercepted!
Dogs defensively right now playing at an elite level. And Mack puts a nail in the coffin.
Georgia remains undefeated with a 27-13 win over the Tennessee Volunteers.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. That was our theme. We told them we wanted to play it right here in our box.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. This mayhem moment is brought to you by Allstate. Get protected from mayhem this year when you switch and save with Allstate. Some mayhem going on in college football right now. What's the top four look like after Tennessee, Clemson, and Alabama all lose? How far
is Ohio State? Let's get it.
Yeah, I guess so. They came in second. They got the only other first place vote outside of Georgia. So. How far will Tennessee fall, guys?
How far?
Yeah.
I think they
still got a shot, you think?
I think they'll still have a shot. I think they'll have a shot.
A lot of people were picking the upset, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought that their offense would be way more prolific against Georgia than they showed.
I got snookered into thinking the defense had turned a corner, but it was just the opponent.
I knew Clemson would get, get wrecked on because they should have had three losses already.
But you didn't think it – like, for me, I picked going into the weekend. That was one of my parlay picks. I'm like, oh, I think Notre Dame's going to win this game. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they were going to smack that like that.
Right.
Like, they even – I mean, you even heard people in their own organization like, yo, we got our asses kicked. We never mm-hmm. –
And I felt like Alabama would go into Death Valley and get unleashed on just because Jaden Daniels, the quarterback that's there, is really turned it on. Beginning of the season, he was trying to find his way, coming over from ASU, understanding the SEC conference. And I think with him, they found something.
How about
I like that Clemson lost. I like that Alabama lost because it puts USC right in a perfect position to backdoor into that Final Four, because TCU still has to play Texas, okay? And Texas is up and down, but they may have an up game against TCU that's in front of us. Oregon, we would have to play in the Pac-12 championship, so we get a chance to take care of them. Huh?
In the mist, or where would you go? Where would you be?
We would be in Vegas.
Pac-12 championship, no mist.
In Vegas. No mist at all. Party.
Right.
Who else do we got in front of us? Ohio State's not going to lose. Michigan is going to lose because they're going to lose Ohio State.
Right.
So that's going to drop Michigan down. So we're in a perfect spot.
Alabama done?
Yeah, Alabama's done.
I
think that was the biggest – I mean, look, even though Tennessee lost, right? Like, Georgia's really good. But I think the biggest takeaway from the weekend was this is why Brian Kelly went to LSU. And you talk about wins on the board early. Right? He got those early. I mean, and I know Notre Dame got the win, but that's why he left Notre Dame to go to LSU because he wanted to play against Nick Saban. He got his wish, and the early matchup, he got the win.
So,
yeah, he wasn't going to beat no Alabama at no Notre Dame. No. That wasn't going to happen.
No.
You hear what Paul Feinbaum said on Get Up about Nick Saban?
What did he say about Nick Saban?
This is a quote. I think this is the worst coaching job Nick Saban has done at Alabama in his 15 years there.
Worst coaching job.
Two losses
is the worst
damn,
coaching
man.
Job.
I mean,
I think it'll be a lot of
Nick got it on Smash because I think he's right, and it's two losses.
That's crazy.
Yep.
But I think he means by how the players look, the defense mm-hmm. looks. He doesn't have some of the same players that he had a year or two ago, and that's okay. He's going to reload, though. See, they just all they did is they just made him mad by him having two losses and not getting in the Final Four. He's going to be teed off.
I'm surprised. That's I got a time. Always surprised when Alabama, if Alabama's not, I mean, now that we have a playoff, if Alabama's not in the playoff, surprising.
It's one time.
I get it. It's still. Are you not surprised? That's the reason it's surprising.
Yeah,
come on, Key. You and I were sitting here last week saying it's Nick Saban. He's going to get in.
He lost two.
Yeah.
See, if he still had one loss, he'd get in.
That's why,
you can't put a two-loss team in.
I agree, and I know what you're going to tell me about the format change. It's going to be fire. You're probably right. I'll probably like it more. I'm just saying, the reason I like the regular season in college football so much now is you know every game matters because it's basically a double elimination tournament season long. Alabama lost two. They're done. Right? But once you have a playoff, it's not the expanded playoff. Not going to be that.
I have a solution. Then fire Nick Saban then. Everybody's so mad. Fire him.
No, they're not. Yeah,
I know that. I'm being sarcastic. They ain't going
to
fire. But that's a, for everybody
Nick
saying,
would have
like,
to fire
these greatest coaches, man, when you get in these round robin situations, you get into like each and every year, it's hard to maintain like a standard of excellence 24/7.
It makes it so remarkable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All I care about is us getting in. That's all I care about. I don't care about anybody else.
So, listen, we're talking about Scott. Alabama, which, of course, I think of two quarterbacks now playing in the NFL who will always be compared to each other because one guy took the ball from the other guy in a championship.
I thought one guy played for Oklahoma.
That's what I said.
Yeah, right.
About.
Yeah, but he played for both.
Mac
look,
Jones?
Tua Tagovailoa threw for three touchdowns. Tyreek Hill had 143 receiving yards. We know that you're very high on Jalen Hurts, Key. What about Tua Tagovailoa? Look, however you want to slice it, Jalen Hurts is your guy, Tua is Jay's guy. That's
well,
how it happened. For whatever reason, that's how it happened.
You just asked me what I thought about it.
What did you think of Jay's guy?
This kid,
what do you think of Jay's guy?
Jay's guy's good, man.
Yeah.
But when you start off hating on somebody, because that's what it is, right?
Yeah, right.
We're hating on you because we don't approve certain things or we don't.
Who knows why you hate on a certain guy or not, right?
We don't glorify a player or a team the way people want you to, so you're hating on him. So with that hate I own, yes, I hate Tua. I don't like Tua.
Yeah.
He's the worst quarterback to ever play. He's no Dan Marino. Whatever. He's doing a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you clearly could see when he wasn't in there what the team looked like. And when he came back, they're a totally different team. They just are. You can't argue with the way that he's played this year.
But see, Max,
you cannot argue with that.
Key, and look, you haven't been a Tua hater. I framed you to be that person, which I very much enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I think we watched the progression of both quarterbacks
–
right? And it just confirms the theory to me that the second most important player on the offense is the top flight wide receiver that you put to surround the quarterback. If that's what we've seen multiple times now with Joe Burrow, what he got with Ja'Marr Chase, what we've seen with Kyler Murray and D Hop, what we've seen now with AJ Brown and and Tyreek Hill, which might be the best offensive weapon in the NFL, along that with Jalen Waddle and the way they play.
Go down the list. And by the way, not just the receivers that guys got. Like, remember Joe Burrow? They should have taken, what's his name, the tackle.
The O-line.
Because he's, but he got him Ja'Marr Chase. But now do it the other way. Take Devontae Adams away from Aaron Rodgers.
Penei Sewell.
Take Devontae Adams away from Aaron Rodgers. How's it look? right? Like, how's it look? It looks different. Take the receivers away from Tom Brady early in the season. Looked different, didn't it? There are other examples. Just like, think of a team that even loses their top receiver for that week. It looks different. And as Keith said,
it looks different everywhere but Las Vegas, but that's fine. Go ahead.
He got the receiver and it didn't work out. It's one of the but they also switched coaches, right? They were responding to Bisaccia. They got McDaniels, who's never had success as a head coach.
Popcorn. Miami switched coaches too.
To an offensive guru, a guy who was calling plays.
How do you think Josh McDaniels?
But McDaniels has had a shot in the past and it didn't work out.
But they they hired him based on.
McDaniels never had a shot.
But I'm saying they hired McDaniels. Well, they just call him McDaniel, right? They hired McDaniel.
Yeah, one's McDaniel, one's McDaniels.
Call Josh and Mike.
They hired him based on him being a guru, passing game. Look what he did for Mac Jones, and look what he.
No doubt. But some guys are also administrators in a way that other guys aren't.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I by the way, Tyreek, absolutely. After they draft the guy, same in Eagles too for Jalen Hurts. Both former Bama quarterbacks had real good receivers didn't stop there. They then got him an ace receiver on the market addition to that.
You want to know why Tyreek is really good, though?
Huh.
Because they're scared of him. You know what I mean by that? When he lines up,
they pay attention.
The heart drops on the defensive back who's covering him. He's already lost when he lines up. That kid who's covering him is defeated immediately.
I'm just so surprised that they're targeting him.
He's scared of him.
I thought that he would be a weapon that puts him over the top. I didn't know they were going to target him a million times a game.
It's like basketball. It's like basketball. You're scared of Jordan and Kobe. You're scared of LeBron James. You're scared of Kevin Durant. They're scared of Tyreek Hill.
Should Mike McDaniel, maybe that's the key for Josh. He didn't stick the S off the last name. Maybe that's the whole key. If they called himself Josh McDaniel, he'd be okay. Because Mike McDaniel seems to me to be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
I guess you could have
Robert Saleh, Brian Daboll.
But I think Daboll and Robert Saleh and Nick Sirianni is probably ahead of them.
I don't know if I – really? I think he's right there. McDaniel, first year as a head coach, takes over a Miami team, lost his quarterback for a while.
They were already a playoff team, though.
Yeah.
They didn't make wholesale changes.
Right.
They added two – maybe three pieces.
Tua's career was ascending little by little. He looks different.
They added Tyreek, Cedric Wilson, the left tackle Armstrong.
Chubb.
What else did they have?
Chubb.
Well, they just added
just
Chubb.
Added, I mean, just they added. Were already Chubb. Winning.
Oh, I forgot they just added Bradley Chubb. Oh, my God. But Tua, look, the main consideration if you're bringing in a coach like that, you have a quarterback like Tua, is what the effect on the quarterback's going to be. Oh, my God. He has the best QBR in the NFL right now.
But Tua's been, he's almost at my recipe, 21 to 30 for 300 and three TDs, with no turnovers. You can win a lot of games doing that.
Yes, you can.
Saints and Ravens tonight, meantime, guys. What do we need to see from Lamar to get back into the MVP race?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash.
With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Monday Night Football Preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Why'd they put the slow music behind it, though? Why'd they slow it down for you?
It was a little low.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You know what I can't wait for?
This is why this show is so fun.
Thursday is what I can't wait for. You want to talk about fun? We're giving away $10,000 a day every show. $2,500 an hour. People are just going to have to listen to it for a winning word and text a number, and boom, your chance of $2,500 an hour putting in your pocket. That's a kind of promotion you can get behind. All right, guys, it's time for the Monday Parlay. Let me set it off, okay? I was looking for the number of receptions for Alvin Kamara, but I couldn't find them, all right? So I'm taking the over on his rushing yards, 60.5 yards. He's a lot of the offense right now. I like the over.
Yeah, he probably should have went under there.
Damn!
Yeah, he probably should have went under.
I wanted over on receptions.
I'm going to take Lamar Jackson over, though, on the 1.5 touchdown passes. I think he can get two.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. I'm going to take Devin Duvernay, receiving yards, 45.5. I'm going to take the over. He's been averaging 39 receiving yards per game. And plus, I know with Andrews and Bateman. What?
No, I'm laughing because she said 39. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's like one catch.
But he's like their number one target. He's going to be the number one target.
Yeah,
that's why he likes the over.
That's why I like the over.
So what does we need to see from Lamar?
What do we need to see from Lamar?
But for real, look, I thought he was going to have a monster MVP season, and he's within spitting distance of the MVP
he's had some fourth quarter, late, and I don't want to say collapses, but
bad
ill-advised
decisions.
Throws that he would like to get back.
Spitting difference.
Spitting distance.
Distance.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to
cut right there,
Jay. You don't have to.
You gotta do if you want to get a good one. Though.
You need a loogie. No, you just.
So in
you know.
The end, Lamar Jackson Lamar Jackson is still in the MVP race.
I would say so. I'd say he's top six.
He's outside the building.
Yeah,
he's outside the building right now.
He's top six. He's probably six.
They told him, "Hold on, sir."
He got stopped in line. Oh,
yeah,
that's
hold
bad.
On, hold on, sir. We're gonna let us check for a second. We understand your name is here. It says Lashay Jackson, just hold on 1 second.
He's like Puffy when Puffy couldn't get in. Was it? No, Jamie Foxx when Jamie Foxx couldn't get into the party.
Ooh. Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are in. On the outside looking in, but right there, Josh Allen, like, is in one game away.
Yeah, but Josh Allen is behind the rope standing at the door. He's standing at the door behind the rope. They won't let Lamar get behind the rope to put him in. You know, they let him stand there. They're telling
what about
him
Geno
to wait.
Smith?
Josh is in the VIP room. He just hopping around. He don't got a table right
now. No, he ain't in the
club
yet.
Oh, no, that's what it is. No,
he don't got a table
Mahomes
right
and Hurts are sitting at the table.
Yeah, they got the
Josh
best tables
Allen and Tua Tagovailoa are waiting to be seated.
They're trying to find a table for them?
Yeah, they're trying to find a table for them.
So why they got to be in the club and wait for a table, but Lamar, he can't even get in the rope?
And
well,
Geno, too.
The one that said Lamar can't get in the club.
Lamar and Geno.
Geno's probably waiting to get inside the rope. You're right. Josh Allen.
Really? I think Geno's at home waiting for the invite.
No. Geno got the invite.
Well, he's first on call.
He got the invite.
Oh, he's inside you.
But they got
inside. He's inside you.
Because they're checking, and it says Geno Smith. And so they got to look. He says Geno Smith. They look say, sir, we only have a
Geno. We go, got Will. We got Will Smith. We got
a
Will.
And as opposed to Lamar, they're like, yeah, Lamar, we're going to be right with you.
Yeah, we're going to be right with you.
Geno Smith. It's with an E, huh?
I understand what you're saying, sir. Just one second.
You know, they get all demonstrative with the other club.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, sir. Just one second.
We know who you are. Just give us a second.
Let me go ask Samantha, and I'll be right back to you.
Samantha.
Yeah, I just realized something. Is that how athletes see the media in a way? Like, you know, bouncers a lot of times don't have a lot of power in their own lives, so they're going to make sure now that they're at the door, boy, they're going to have that power. Is that how athletes see the media? Like, look at these dudes, kind of like gatekeepers.
Yes.
Who don't have but somehow they have power over us. That's outrageous.
TSA. Certain security guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that.
Flexing
on
and people. The media.
Flexing on you hard.
TSA.
Like, boy, you know, if you didn't see me outside this.
TSA. I'm as nice as I could be. Yes, I understand. No problem.
Sure. Cavity check.
They like sports guys for the most part, though. I usually have pretty good
time. Until I get behind. Once I get through, at that point, I might do anything. But let me get through first. No, I think Geno has a case at some point in time. Lamar certainly will have one.
What's he have to do tonight?
He's got to ball out. He's got to win this game against the New Orleans Saints depleted team. He's got to win the game, and he's got to keep his mistakes down and limit them. First of all, Rashad Bateman's not in the lineup. So he doesn't have anything at the receiver position. Okay,
Andrews.
They just activated DeSean Jackson, which I still think can take the top off of it. You know, I still think he can run.
35, he's still going like that?
Man, last year for the Raiders, he averaged 20 yards a catch.
Yeah.
And for the Rams, it was something like 27 yards a catch.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because I rock with him as a personality. I mean, he's
good,
he's a bona fide leader.
Player, and a good, tough player, and fat, always fast. But I'm thinking about Lamar. Like Josh Allen, to me, Josh Allen's coming off a bad game, but he's a game away. And what we remember, what we celebrate in sports, especially in this country, we celebrate the winners. Whatever goes wrong throughout most of the game, whatever. If Lamar Jackson leads his team down the field at the end to win, that's all we care about.
That's all you care about. And another thing, when you talk about these quarterbacks, something I care about real quick, I don't know if you noticed it. Patrick Mahomes, and if they could grab it up on the TV side real quick, Patrick Mahomes scored the two-point conversion yesterday. You know he pulled a Gus Frat?
Against the wall?
Against the wall.
He hit his head?
He hit his head against the wall, and I almost freaked out. I said,
Patrick,
what are you doing?
Patrick.
They're trying to get back to a Super Bowl with you at the quarterback spot, and you made a decision to go Gus Frat on us.
Gus Frat, Key is referring to a game between Washington and the Giants. I want to say it was 7-7, maybe it was 10-10, in the rain, ended in an overtime tie,
in a broke neck.
Yeah, and Gus Frat at a certain point, he's celebrating, Jay. He runs to the sideline, celebrates. He hits his head against the wall in celebration. I'll never forget this. Out of the game. Hurt his neck.
And I told James about it. James said, yeah, that wasn't a smart move. Probably should have did that.
No.
But no. Why would you do that?
He was hyped as hell, though. That's why. I mean, he just ran.
He's fine, too, so he didn't go full Gus Frat.
Yeah, he's fine, but you don't need to add any extra.
I didn't see the Gus Frat.
Can they pull
moment.
It up real quick for us to see? Yeah. Here it is right here.
I remember him running to the pylon, and he got in.
Take a look at it.
Off to the left-hand side. Here you go.
He's running. He's doing his deal.
Yeah, sometimes his runs don't look athletic, though.
Yeah, I know.
They get hyped. Bam.
I see what you mean, but
Gus Frat wasn't bad.
Really?
Yeah, no. Gus Frat gave it a good little shot, man.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, though, Patrick Mahomes. Message to you, Mahomes. Never do that again.
Mahomes does not look athletic when he runs. You're right, Jay.
It's different when
you watch Josh Allen or certainly Lamar Jackson, there's a certain athletic look to it. Mahomes has a little bit of a nerd run, right?
I know he's built a certain way, too.
Yeah.
But he also got shaken bake in him because he made a couple of defensive linemen, their knees buckle.
The main thing about Mahomes is he diagnoses exactly when he needs to run, and he's great. He's a great mobile quarterback because of that.
Yeah.
All right. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping veterans move their lives forward since 2013. You can learn more at keystoprogress.com. Coming up in a matter of moments, Greeny here on ESPN Radio, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max back tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.